So please turn with me to Psalm 119 and verses 105 through to 112, which are our focus this evening. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. You know, the stanza begins with perhaps one of the best known verses of this psalm, doesn't it? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God has given you and me his word to lead us and to guide us in the midst of darkness. And it's been this way from the very beginning. The first words recorded, spoken by God in the Bible are, "Let there be light," when there was darkness over the surface of the earth. God spoke and there was light. Immediately, not gradually, there was light. And we have then the light of God's word, banishing darkness ever since. And here then in this psalm is a very practical emphasis and a very practical analogy that we can grasp and take hold of for our walking, our pilgrimage, as we walk with the Lord in this world. As one commentator puts it, this is truth for life. This is practical living. It's where you put your feet. It's where the pathway that you tread. You need God's word to show you the way to live. And I'm told by the commentators that the Hebrew has, your word is a lamp to my foot rather than my feet. It is my foot. Your word is a lamp to my foot. It's one step at a time. It is each step. It is every step. The psalmist is on a path in a dark world, and you and I are on a pathway in a dark world as we're following Christ heavenwards. And we need the lamp of his word step by step. And there are two key points that I want to draw out from this passage. The first is the problem of darkness. The problem of darkness. You see, without God's word, you and I would be walking in darkness. Have you ever gone for a walk in the dark over unfamiliar ground? Or even over familiar ground? When it's dark, you can't see the potholes, you can't see the lumps and the bumps in the ground and the things that would trip you up, which of course you avoid in the light because you can see them. Without a lamp to your feet, without light to your path, you trip, you fall, you stumble, you stub your toe, you walk off the edge of the curb, as I do, it seems, frequently when I go for my habitual morning run to wake myself up first thing. It's dark this time of the year, and I always seem to find the bit of the curb where it drops off, because I'm running in darkness. I have no way of seeing where the danger is. We need light for our path, don't we, to keep us on track. We need light for our way to keep us from danger. You think how disastrous it would be if you were to be driving at night 100 kilometres an hour down the highway without your headlights on. No way of seeing what's coming up. No way of seeing what obstacles may be in the way, where the bends are in the road. We wouldn't even consider doing such a foolish thing, would we? But are we using the Word of God? Are we using the Word of God to illuminate our way, to avoid disaster in the darkness? Because you see, you and I are living in a dark world. I'm not talking about day and night. I'm not talking about the fact that it's now night has fallen. I'm talking about a spiritual darkness. A darkness in which the world is enveloped, and that is the verdict of God. Paul speaks later on in Ephesians 6 of the present darkness in the context of doing spiritual battle with the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Darkness then is what we as believers have been delivered from. Jesus said in John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul in Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And again in 1 Thessalonians 5, you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. But this, my friends, is where we once were. We were once darkness, not just in darkness, we were darkness. Darkness was our very nature. As we read in Ephesians 5, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, darkness is the natural human condition, the state in which we are all born. Speaking of fallen humanity in Romans 1, Paul says in verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And the consequence is outlined in Ephesians 4:18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. It is a black and a bleak picture, isn't it? The darkness of the human soul, without God, without hope in the world. But now we are children of light and must walk as children of light. But we have a problem. The problem of darkness doesn't go away because we are now children of light, trusting in Christ. We still live in a dark world. There is still a darkness, a spiritual darkness and blindness around us. And there, this darkness still threatens us. And it especially threatens us in affliction, which is where the psalmist goes in verse 107. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. We can sense the darkness, particularly then in those difficult days. And we have been delivered, though, from that darkness. But we have these exhortations that we've read from Jesus, from Peter, from Paul, and also from the Apostle John. In John 1:6, he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Christian, you cannot be walking with Christ and at the same time continue to walk in darkness. And so we have to examine ourselves, because we live in a dark world. What are your deeds saying about your relationship with Christ? Are you shining as lights in this dark generation, as Paul puts it in Philippians? There is no fellowship between light and darkness. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So what fellowship can light have with darkness? The question is rhetorical. There is no fellowship. There is no relationship between light and darkness. The two simply cannot mix, can they? We understand this at a spiritual, a physical level, don't we? We understand that it's either light or it's dark. And for the clever people who are thinking about the dawn and the dusk, Well, twilight, if there's still sunlight refracted at the top of the atmosphere and there's still a bit of light, it's not dark, is it? It's still a bit of light there. And you, when you go into a dark room and turn the light on, it's light. There is no darkness. The two, light and darkness, cannot coexist. But the problem that we have, the problem for humanity, is that because our natural condition is darkness, and our hearts are naturally darkened, darkness is ultimately what we love. This is the judgment, John says in John 3:19. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. You see, by nature, you and I do not like the light. Jesus himself is the light of the world, and yet he was despised, he was rejected by humanity when he came into the world to save this world from sin and judgment. What was humanity's response? It was, away with him, crucify him. What would be your response? What would be my response if we were standing there? It would be the same in that natural benighted condition, because that's what we love, because we don't want our works exposed. Which of us here would be comfortable with our life being replayed in front of our friends and our family and our children, or our husband or our wife, our brothers and sisters in Christ, with a commentary from God's perspective which revealed the real motives for our words and for our actions, which exposed those hidden sins, those dark thoughts, those evil inclinations, regardless of whether they were actioned or not. You know, those murderous thoughts of unjust anger, that adulterous glance, that dishonouring of God, that disobedience of children. Your children, would you be comfortable if you to sit here while Dad or Mum read off a list of the naughty things that you'd done? No, you wouldn't. None of us could bear it, could we? Not one of us could bear that. And in our natural condition, we want this hidden. We don't want this exposed. We don't want people to know what we're really like. And we don't want God to know what we're really like. And we can think somehow that we can keep these things hidden from God if somehow these can remain hidden in darkness. But you know, God knows everything. Nothing can be hidden from God, as those of you learning the Children's Catechism will know. Psalm 139 makes that very clear. There is nowhere you can go where you can hide from God. He has knit you together even in your mother's womb. Our tendency may be to run away from the light, to hide from it. But if you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, you will not, you cannot remain in darkness, because God calls you out of that darkness. He calls you out of that darkness so that you can have fellowship with him and be reconciled with him. And so now that you're reconciled with him, you go to God and you ask God to remove even those hidden sins from you. As the psalmist puts it in Psalm 19, declare me innocent of those hidden faults, those things that I cannot perceive. And we go to God and we confess our sins. And we tell God the way it is. We tell God about those murderous thoughts of unjust anger. We tell God about that adulterous glance. We tell God about that disobedience and dishonor. We lay it all before him because he knows all things. And we come out of the darkness and we come into the light. The light of Christ. You see, it's impossible for light and darkness to coexist. You cannot, in your natural darkness, have fellowship with God in whom there is no darkness. Neither can you hold on to that little dark corner in your life where you go to indulge your pet sin. God has provided a solution, a way of reconciliation, a way of purging of all darkness. And that brings us then to our second point. We've seen the problem of darkness. Now we see the light of life. Paul puts it like this in Ephesians 5. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is another way of putting the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You will be delivered from the dark domain in Christ. You who once were dead in sin, dead in that darkness of soul in which you lived, are now made alive in Christ because of the great love with which he has loved us. In Christ you will be transferred into the kingdom of light. The kingdom of Christ. Darkness will no longer have dominion over you. That little dark corner of your life, your pet sin, will no longer have an allure to you. Because you're in Christ. You're in Christ who is the light of life. And his light has been shed abroad in your heart. In him is no darkness at all. And that, my friends, is who we are being conformed to. In whom we are transformed. It is Christ who is the light of this world. How can we hang on to that little bit of darkness? How can we hide from God those sins any longer? I am the light of the world, Jesus said. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So how do you avoid walking in darkness? How is the light of life given to us? How do we follow Christ in a dark world? And that's where we come back to our text. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to my path, a lamp to my foot, step by step. We obey God's word. We apply God's word. We live God's word. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, not in your own strength, but with the aid and with the agency of the Spirit of truth, who is the helper whom Jesus promised to all who follow him. You are sealed with the Spirit of God the moment that we are translated out of this dark domain into Christ and his kingdom of light. There is no transition period. There is no halfway house. There is no probation. You're either in the domain of darkness or the kingdom of Christ. The moment you believe upon Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul, you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Now, granted, he may have been at work for some time in your darkened heart before that. He will be at work softening your hard and stony heart. He will be at work warming that cold heart within you. He will be preparing the soil of your soul to receive that word of light and life. And he is at work. He is at work changing your attitude to the darkness which once enveloped you. And it still is around you. Your attitude has changed. And now God's word is a lamp to your feet. and a light to your path. So he brings God's word to bear upon you, and that light begins to flood in upon you. Now there may be a twilight, but there's a dawning of the reality of your spiritual condition and of your spiritual need to be reconciled with a holy God whom you've offended. As a creature before your Creator, oh Lord, we need his help, we need his illumination. And it may be a while, a period of time over which that reality and truth dawns upon us. For some, that dawning is quite sudden. It's as if literally a light goes on like an equatorial or tropical sunrise, where suddenly it seems to be light. But for others, that period of time can be longer. And if you're living at higher latitudes, that twilight, the time till dawn, takes a bit longer for the sun to rise. I'm told that astronomical twilight, that's the time from the very first rays of sunlight in the sky, the very first faint bit of light at dawn through to sunrise, can be as little as an hour at the equator through to 6 weeks at the pole. But the point is, it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter whether you can identify the time or the date of that dawn in your life. What matters is that translation out of darkness into light has happened, and that Christ has shone upon you, and that now you are in Christ. And so, having been transferred from the dark domain, with our darkened souls now enlightened, we're now with the exhortation to live as children of light. We need the word of God to light our way, to be living consistent lives as children of light, to stop living as those who once were darkness. And it's by God's word then that we understand how to live. We read in Ephesians those fruitless deeds of darkness that once marked our lives, but now we are children of light, and we're to be living transformed lives in Christ. God's word reveals to us where the potholes are. God's word reveals where the cliffs are, where the dangers are, the twists and the turns. It illuminates our way, and we stay on track, don't we? We don't stray from that narrow way. We keep following Christ, walking in his light. So God's word reveals those hidden dangers, those practices, those ideas, those philosophies that once we may have embraced, we now see as inconsistent with a life which is following Christ, which is walking in the light. And you know, sometimes those ideas and those errors can be very subtle. And we need the light of God's word to discern truth from error. Some ideas may sound very noble and yet leave out the heart of the gospel. We need to bring everything to the word of God, into the clear illumination, the clear light of God's word, and test it. Put it there in the light. Does it stand up to the scrutiny in the brightness of the light that is shone in the word of God? And we see the deeds of darkness for what they are too, don't we? And so we ought to run from those deeds of darkness. We ought to flee from them. Christian, you should be afraid of the dark. Parents are telling your children, don't be afraid of the dark, there's nothing to worry about. But we as believers should be afraid of that spiritual darkness, those dark deeds, those dark thoughts that we need to mortify, that we need to crucify, that we must have nothing to do with, those fruitless deeds. Our behaviour then must change, our attitudes must change, our language must change, our priorities must change, our allegiances must change, those we trust, our friendships must change. When we are brought out of darkness, when the light of God's word shines with greater intensity upon us, we see clearer and clearer, and we want to be more conformed to what we know to be right, to what we know to be true, to what we know to be trustworthy and faithful to Jesus Christ. And so in Christ we're no longer to be walking in darkness. We have the light of his word shed abroad in our hearts by his Spirit. There must be a change in the way that we behave, in the way that we speak, the way that we think must now demonstrate a love for God and a love for our brother and sister. John says, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Again, this is a real warning to us. This is something that we need to be aware of, cognizant of. Yes, we've been delivered from the dark domain, but the darkness still threatens us. But we need to be consciously then walking in the light. And there needs to be that practical change evident in the way that we're living, which extends then to the love that we have and display to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because you are now light in the Lord, you have fellowship with God, so you love God and you demonstrate your love for God in a transformed life in which you are doing the word of God with joy and delight, and you want to see this in your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you lovingly serve them, and at times you will lovingly confront them with error to keep them in that way, to keep them away from darkness. Loving our brothers and sisters doesn't mean stroking their consciences. It doesn't mean patting them on the back and saying, they're never mind. Loving our brothers and sisters may at times mean confronting them with that sin. It means confronting them with that error, warning them of the dangers as we perceive them, as we see them. We see our brother in sin, we are to warn them. That's the way of love. We don't leave one another to wander off and make shipwreck of their souls. That's why God has brought us together as his people, in a community of his people, the family of God, the church, his body, in which we are helping one another and looking out for one another, encouraging one another, helping one another, loving with one another, bearing with one another. Living as children of light, shining the light for each other to see the way, the pathway to go. God's word is your lamp and your light, showing you the way to live. It doesn't show you necessarily the details, it doesn't tell you about the specific job or the specific house, but the priorities, your priorities, and the character as you live for Christ. Is that, there are principles here, aren't there? Is that job, that location, that move, is it going to take you away from Christ? Is it going to take you away from his body, the church? Or is it going to enable you to serve the Lord more fully? Is that man or that woman whom you are thinking may be a suitable life partner for you in marriage, will they bring you closer to Jesus Christ? Will they cultivate in you that deeper relationship, that deeper love for the Lord Jesus? Will they help you serve him? There are principles, aren't there? Not specifics, but principles that the Word of God brings light to our decision making, a light to our choices, a light to our thoughts, a light to our words, a light to our priorities and our attitudes. And this is serious business, so serious the psalmist says he has sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. Verse 106. Keeping, doing, living, obeying God's word is a serious business. Without it, you are in darkness. Without it, then, you are in danger. Because you're unable to see where you're going. And you're easily lost. You're easily sidetracked. You're easily injured. We need to take this seriously. And for the psalmist, he specifically perceived his need in affliction. Verse 107, he was severely afflicted. We especially need the light of God in seasons of affliction, don't we? We need the light of his word when those times are hard. Because it's in those hard and difficult times of perplexing providences that come upon us as God sees fit, when we can be forgetful of God's word and we can become consumed with all the things that are going on in our lives and the way things are falling apart and not going the way that we'd hoped. And we forget his promise never to leave us, never to forsake us, always to be working all things together for our good, to conform us to Jesus Christ. Not to make us comfortable, but to conform us to Christ. That is what matters. That is what counts, my friends. It's not your comfort. It's not your ease. It is Christ-likeness. That's what matters. That's what counts. That is what God is working towards. And we ask then him to give us his life as he has promised in his word, particularly then in those seasons of affliction. How we need his light. So easy to get caught up with ourselves, isn't it? Have that tunnel vision and that morbid introspection. But what we need is to look to the author and the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, even the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is life, light, and our life. And so ask God to give you that life according to his word, to drive that darkness, to drive those dark thoughts away, to drive that morbid introspection, that woe is me, away. To keep walking in the light of his word, step by step, foot by foot. Remember, this is not a sprint. This is an endurance race, as it were. We need to be dogged. We need to be plodders. We need to keep going, one foot at a time. But God has promised light for every footstep. Ask him for that light. Ask him for that illumination, for that footstep that you're taking in that moment, in that hour, on that day, in that season. And what's the response of the psalmist? 108. Accept my free will offering of praise, he says. He makes an offering. He worships God. He worships God. And as God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our way, we are led then in a life of worship in which we are offering ourselves daily as a living sacrifice to God, as Paul puts it in Romans 12:1. That is our worship. It is offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. It is saying to the Lord, have thine own way, not my way, O Lord, but yours. Take the way of light, not the way of darkness. Your way, O Lord, not mine. And give him the worth that is his. Worship him. And so you don't forget God's word, God's holy law, verse 110. Not even when the wicked have laid a snare for you and sought to trip you up, you remain steadfast, walking in the light of God's word, never straying from God's precepts. You keep on living for the Lord, illuminated by the word of God in every situation. People will be seeking to trip you up. They'll be seeking to catch you out. They'll be seeking to throw the mud and want it to stick. And they'll smear your name and they'll smear your reputation and they'll do you down. But you, walking in the light of God's word, will not stray from his precepts, no matter what the wicked may do. And so the word of God is to the psalmist, and indeed to all who belong to Christ, who walk in his light, an eternal heritage. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, and accordingly the joy of your heart. You can see clearly now, with the darkness being driven away in the deliverance that Christ has effected, that he has delivered your soul from the dark domain to walk with him in light. Your way is illuminated by his word. It's being revealed by his spirit. And so your heart then is always inclined to perform, to action, to apply the word of God, your statutes forever to the end. You need, though, to turn the torch on to get the benefit from its light. In the same way, you need to open the Bible. You need to open God's word to get the benefit of its illumination, that it would shine upon your footstep, that it would shine that pathway, make that pathway bright and clear, that it would keep you from straying, that it would keep you from those fruitless deeds of darkness, that it would keep you from indulging those dark thoughts and passions. You need to have the word of God open. The torch is useless in darkness if it's switched off. The Bible is useless if it's closed and your mind is closed to it. You need to open it. You need to open it and have it open, and your heart and your mind opened to it, and all that it says and all of its precepts, in every aspect of your life, in every compartment of your life. The light of God's word must shine so that all darkness is driven away. Open the Bible and ask for the Spirit's illumination. Ask him who is given to you, brothers and sisters, as your helper. Ask him to help you to read it, to meditate upon it, to imbibe it, to drink it in, to live it, to love it, to bring it to bear upon your life in all of its facets, in all of its dimensions. God would use his word to light your way so that you will not stumble, so that you will not fall, so that you will not be destroyed. Returning to our car analogy, we've turned the headlights on. We can see the bend in the road. We can adjust our course accordingly. With the Word of God open, we can see our pathway. We can see the twists and the turns. And we commit our ways to the Lord and we trust Him to keep us in that narrow way. And we long to be kept then in that way of light. Because He will keep you. Because that's what He's promised. You will be able to be a doer of God's Word forever and to the end. And so, with His illumination, the storms of life can be navigated safely, faithfully, effectively for Jesus Christ. And you're kept clear of those dangers that would shipwreck you, to change our analogy. So the question that I have is God's Word your light? If you're professing to be a Christian here this evening, it must be so. You must embrace, you must live out His truth. Spurgeon puts it like this: each man, and for that matter woman, should, and boy and girl in Christ, then each should take or should use the Word of God personally. Personally. It's yours, for you. Practically. Habitually. That we may see His way. And that we may see what lies in that way. When darkness settles down upon all around me, the Word of the Lord, like a flaming torch, reveals my way. And I have no darkness to fear because I'm in the light. We follow that way which is illuminated, the way that the Master went, the way that Christ went. We want to put our footsteps in His footsteps, step by step. But if you're not a Christian, if you're not in Christ, if you do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has died in your place on the cross as your substitute to reconcile you to a holy God, you remain in darkness. No matter what you may say or what you may protest, you remain in darkness. If you're not trusting Christ alone for salvation, you remain in the dark domain. You need to be transferred from that dark domain into the kingdom of light in Christ. And I would urge you to go to Him now, to ask Him to deliver you now from that darkness that is in you and around you, that you would walk with Him, with Jesus, in light, so that together with those of us who are in Christ, Christ Himself would be your light. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for His work that has transferred us, translated us out of the dark domain and into His kingdom. We thank You that You have sent Your Spirit to us to illuminate us, to bring us, as it were, to our senses, to show us the darkness and the fruitless deeds of that darkness, and to see them for as they really are. And to see the kingdom of Christ and the light that shines there. And oh Lord, we pray that You would give us a longing, a greater longing to be walking then in that light, in the full illumination of the light of your word. Give us, Lord, a fear and a hatred of that darkness which at times rears its ugly head and would seek to consume us. Give us a hatred of it, O God, that we would flee from it and flee to the light and ask you, O God, to illuminate our way step by step. O Lord, we would not want to run ahead into the gloom. We want to take each step in a measured way, seriously, considering your word, O God, and how it speaks into every aspect of our lives, every moment of our existence. O gracious God, be at work in us and among us, we pray. And particularly, Lord, open any benighted hearts and minds here tonight. And shine the light of the gospel on them, we pray. And save souls to the glory of your name. Amen.